The following is an AI reading of my blog called
How Not to Fall for a Cryptocurrency Scam.
It is for people who don't have time to read blogs and can listen to podcasts though. So, let's go!
It's common for people to dream of becoming wealthy quickly, especially when they see those crypto bros around them who have relocated to Dubai, enjoying coffee with sheikhs, driving an expensive sports car, or even purchasing their own castle. Nevertheless, attempting to mimic others' path to wealth can lead to several practical issues. That's why many individuals trying to make a quick fortune end up seated in a police station chair, filing a criminal report at a law firm, or becoming customers of a pharmaceutical company. Offering a cure for failed investors using benzodiazepines, the challenge lies in avoiding this outcome while still remaining open to good opportunities. In this chapter, I will attempt to highlight some red flags that we should be aware of, a better cryptocurrency. In the previous section, I explained why having a project that's simply superior in some aspects isn't enough. Ethereum has impressive technological features, but even if these dreams become reality, they may not significantly help the situation. The unspoken part of this story is the hope that a new project could replace Bitcoin, because its unique feature would be valuable enough to convince people to sell their bitcoins and invest in the new token. However, this possibility is quite unlikely. People are often lazy and unfamiliar with new projects, tending to behave like herds. Identifying which project might trigger such herd behavior is fueled by the desire for wealth. Investing in a project that costs 10 cents per piece with the hope that it will one day be worth 1 BTC can indeed sound appealing. What's rather more frustrating is that these aspiring investors often find examples from the past when something similar was successful after all. This project also made 10,000 times in a few months. If I had only bought it for $100, I could be a millionaire today. The issue here is that we are choosing from thousands of possible projects that could have done it but didn't. Instead, you give your $100 to those who created the token or purchased it in a closed round that you weren't able to access. Identifying just one project out of a thousand that you could make money on and not holding onto it when it eventually declines is incredibly difficult. It's beneficial to look at negative examples, individuals who lost a considerable portion of their savings because they invested in Luna or any other project that, although it did 1,000 times its value, ultimately lost all of its worth in just a day. Of course, giving warnings about a project having poorly set incentives, as I did before Luna's fall and warned people against its downfall, is not a popular strategy with those who envision more profit and false validation over time. After all, it has already done 100 times what you're talking about. Therefore, instead of considering whether a cryptocurrency can do 1,000 times better, focus on the possibility that it might only achieve 0.00001 times its current performance. This principle is demonstrated by Taleb's turkey example. The turkey is regularly fed by humans, causing its size and enjoyment of life to grow until Thanksgiving arrives. On this day, the turkey finds itself nicely arranged on a plate, with both its enjoyment of life and even its very existence coming to an end. The guru fallacy. Even your favorite crypto guru can go crazy. It's been said that if you have 1 million chimpanzees and let them press the buy and sell buttons randomly over time, you will find among them a few brilliant investors who have made thousands of times their initial capital. This fallacy is known as survivorship bias, where someone survives the harsh filtering process of profit and loss statements. Of course, crypto gurus are likely better than chimpanzees and have some decision-making strategy behind their choices. However, past successes don't guarantee future returns. Maybe it's just the chimp that will drop out in the next round while others remain. Examples of crypto gurus who had an interesting investment thesis but were lured into a project that ultimately failed are plentiful. If you're seeking inspiration from individuals who share their thoughts on success from their luxurious homes in Costa Rica, I recommend conversing with the man who chose to tattoo the Luna logo on his thigh. Interestingly, he was already a prosperous investor before this decision. I hope he names his pet accordingly, sparing it from sharing the embarrassment of this regrettable choice throughout its life. Learning from others' mistakes is indeed valuable for us. Nassim Nicholas Taleb advises in his works that investment guidance should not be taken from those who need to work for a living. However, the opposite does not necessarily hold true. Individuals who no longer have to work are not inherently more knowledgeable. In 2022, the widely recognized Three Arrows Capital Fund experienced a collapse. While its founders, Su Zhu and Kyle Davies, had assured risk-adjusted returns, their fund ultimately failed, taking down numerous large cryptocurrency projects and startups that had trusted them. With their funds for management, even well-known big funds and superstar investors can make mistakes. The first rule of investing is not to lose money. Only bet so much that it doesn't ruin you, like using Kelly's criterion. You've already paid the YouTube guru by watching their video monetize through ads, sharing their videos with friends, or maybe purchasing a paid program from them. They can't lose money anymore, they're richer because of you. They might feel caring, but their wall, it does not feel it. And even if they do care, sincere interest doesn't automatically mean they're capable of delivering good information to you. The worst thing is when someone becomes the successful chimp. From the example above, but starts believing in themselves that they are successful because of their abilities and have figured out some magic recipe for wealth. Such people get quickly cleaned out by the market if they use this magic recipe for wealth for themselves. If someone claims they've discovered a secret recipe for wealth and offers it at a price, know that their true source of fortune lies in selling such secrets, not the one being sold to you. The magic formula lies in peddling magical formulas, identifying your unfair advantage edge. Investors who make wise long-term choices reap rewards over time. They invest in the right businesses that offer dividends, contribute to an alternative financial system growing in significance, and so forth. However, these long-term strategies aren't particularly exciting or alluring. Who wants to wait ages when they could potentially become rich overnight? In the short and medium term, individuals possessing an unfair advantage, often referred to as the edge, tend to succeed. And someone will gladly sell you that edge. A prime example is the exclusive 1.0.0 participant Telegram group with a membership fee, one among many such groups where traders exchange their unfair advantages. In these gatherings, members experience camaraderie and belonging, engaging in discussions with like-minded individuals. You do business together and share successes. It's similar to how fans of influencers on Instagram feel. You might follow your favorite model every day, learning about what they've bought, where they're currently shooting, or even what it looks like in first class on Emirates flight. Discovering if the water in Fiji is nice, clean, and blue. As you see their Instagram feed daily, you begin to feel like you're friends with them. The model or influencer has 20 million such buddies just like you. However, when you actually talk to her, you realize that you don't really know her at all. Her photos are prepared and published regularly by her PR team. These stories show a slice of reality she wants to present. But even if she takes a picture in the morning without makeup for authenticity, you're still one of those 20 million people. Belonging to the exclusive club of traders on Telegram is no different. There may not be 20 million of you, but only 100 or 1,000, but do you know how many such groups there are? I personally knew a great many traders whose advice was worth following until the advice stopped working. If someone has a true unfair advantage edge, they can very likely monetize it on their own or with a few investors. An unfair advantage only works if not many people know about it. By the time it becomes information that thousands of people know about, there may be 100 of you in a Telegram group, but you'll share it with your friends too, right? It's long since priced in, if it ever existed at all. Trading signals pump and dump. Various trading signals gurus and groups are also related to this topic. These work in different ways, but the most primitive form is the pump and dump group, where people coordinate to buy something together to make it feel like the price of something is skyrocketing so they can quickly sell the token at a higher price. It doesn't help that such groups are often short-lived, but there's usually someone behind them who will buy the pumped token before they organize the whole scheme and dump it before everyone else. The problem is also that pumping doesn't always work. Other people may see through what you're trying to do, which can result in you being on the buying side of the dump, no one will buy the token from you again. There are other trading signals, such as those based on crowd psychology, technical analysis, and indicators, that operate similarly, although not in a completely primitive way. The winners of these games are typically the ones with the most capital and experience, which cannot be gained by being a member of a Telegram group for just a year. Heuristics for good projects. Now you've read how nothing can be done and it's all a scam. Is it true that there's actually nothing worth investing in and we should give up? Most likely, the majority of projects are not worth investing in. But if something passes through your pre-developed heuristic sieve, it might be worth a long and careful deliberation. My criteria are as follows. First, is it an operational project or merely a fantasy? There's nothing wrong with backing dreams. However, it's crucial to discern whether the team can materialize that dream. If we're discussing an appealing metaverse project with an engaging vision and fascinating investors, that's great, but reach out again when I'm able to install and test it. Should the initial version already surpass existing competition, then I'd be more than willing to provide my support. Nonetheless, if all that exists is a 40-page aesthetically pleasing PDF filled with dreams of amassing hundreds of thousands of users by next year, I expect these early investors to financially back the development of the first version. Subsequently, I will verify whether someone can turn this dream into reality and determine if there's anyone who has enough faith in the team to fund such development. Obviously, if everybody thinks like that, nothing will ever get built. But the other side of that coin is that the world is full of dreams, but there's a bit of a lack of people who can make them happen too. Is this consistent with my worldview? For example, this is how I bought the cryptocurrency Monero. It wasn't a successful investment at all, but privacy and cypherpunk values are important to me personally, so I'm happy with this investment even though I didn't make any money on it. A project that I want regardless of the cost, because it improves the world and moves it where I want it to go, is a good investment for me. 3. Would I buy it even if I didn't make money on it? There are some projects that I just want to have in my portfolio because they are doing a good thing. A company developing an impressive electric car or a project tackling a significant global issue is something I'm interested in having, regardless of whether I purchase it for $14.80 and its future price being either $10.40 or $18.90. It's essential for me to have information about making wise decisions and determining if the chosen project can genuinely enhance lives as intended. Additionally, understanding if there is any global interest in such developments plays a crucial role. Will the project function even without further financial support from others? This question helps identify potential Ponzi schemes. Who will pay for the product or service and why? If a project addresses an issue effectively, someone should be willing to cover its cost. It's essential to consider if there are individuals in need of what the project offers. If they are prepared to pay for it, this indicates their willingness to sacrifice other scarce resources to obtain the solution to their problem. Heuristics on traders. I don't do trading personally at all, but the reason is that no project has passed my heuristics for trading yet. Why my heuristics? If nothing else, they largely avoid the turkey on a plate problem. 1. How is your left tail covered? A tail event is an unlikely high impact event. A left tail indicates that this impact is negative, i.e. a loss. Trading in most markets is a fat-tailed domain, i.e. there are many of these events and they continue far left. For a more detailed description, I recommend the book Antifragile by Taleb. The problem is that it is these tail events that determine the long-term outcome of trading. Anyone can make use of luck, improbable upside, the right tail, but how a trader deals with the turkey problem is what determines whether he or she will be successful in the long run. If a trader doesn't know what a left tail is, doesn't have it covered, or at least doesn't warn the client that he needs to cover it himself, I know he has no idea what he's talking about, and so far, he's a chimp who has survived because the tail event hasn't occurred yet, but it will occur, too. How did you survive the bear market? What did you do? If this is a new trader who hasn't traded in a bear market before, I'm hoping for the best of luck for him, but he's certainly not going to try his luck with my money. 3. Earned more bitcoins in the bull market. In a bull market when everything is going up, even a less smart chimp makes dollars. Make no mistake, those dollars disappear when the turkey finds itself on the dinner table. And you never know when it's time for Thanksgiving in trading, you might not be able to get out in time, especially in crypto. In a bull market, a trader needs to be able to make better decisions than a simple strategy buy Bitcoin and hold. 4. Do you have a list of all your predictions and decisions somewhere? I hear a lot of predictions about what the expected bottom or top of the current market cycle is. Reflections on how traders have been right or wrong before are quite useful. Firstly, do you know what you will do if you are catastrophically wrong in your prediction? Secondly, does the opposing side have skin in the game? Skin in the game, as Taleb describes it in his book, is a symmetry of risk exposure. Many investment advisors only make money when you make money fees come out of the money they make you. But the real question is, do they lose money when you lose money? That's why it pays them to take bigger risks that the customer is comfortable with. If the risk pays off and they make you money, they get a fee. If the risk does not pay off, only you lose money, they just don't get any fee. Unless the counterparty loses significant money, when you lose significant money, you need to be very careful. Staking, liquidity mining, farming, and mining are various yield-creating schemes that mostly involve percentage interest. Not all of these methods are scams, making this area more complex. While Bitcoins are also mined, it is crucial to understand where the money comes from and why someone is paying it. Bitcoin mining involves significant costs, such as the expense of mining machines, power, data centers, and competition, resulting in a low-margin industry in most countries. The value created that miners receive comes from transaction fees paid by users for processing their transactions on the network and the issuance of new bitcoins, which affects the price of existing bitcoins. This is a fair method to distribute bitcoins as a reward for maintaining the security of the network. When it comes to percentage returns, there are a few important aspects to consider. Firstly, be aware of the currency your investment is in and how the return is paid. In 2017, many people were running masternodes for proof of stake currencies like PIVX, Dash, and others that offered guaranteed returns. To receive this yield, you had to lock in a significant amount of cryptocurrency and operate a node. Using PIVX as an example, if you wanted a decent monthly return, you needed to lock up 10,000 PIVX tokens. At the end of 2017, just before it reached its peak, these tokens could be bought for $50,000. Today, they can be sold for only $1,300. Was that worth a few months of nice yield? Unfortunately, most people are now in the red and never recovered their initial investment. Secondly, you should know how long you need to lock your tokens for and understand that their value can drop. Additionally, it is crucial to have an exit plan in place. Many people, when considering such investments, only take into account the upfront costs. The exit costs are a significant concern as well. Many individuals believe placing a stop-loss order on an exchange will resolve everything. However, it is crucial to consider liquidity. Are there enough buyers available? Remember, a stop-loss doesn't magically transform a failing token into something stable. Every trade on the exchange requires a buyer on the other side. Is anyone interested in purchasing a currently struggling asset? Does this potential buyer want to purchase as much as you're selling? While some tokens allow hedging against such crashes, most people simply assume the market won't crash. Now, let's discuss who pays the yield. If the yield is paid through inflation, it raises questions about whether demand will grow faster than inflation. For instance, numerous crypto projects in liquidity pools promised high percentage dollar yields, but paid these rewards in tokens that only had demand for entering the liquidity pool. When the demand for crypto-backed loans decreased, the yield dropped to zero, causing the value of locked tokens to plummet. A positive example can be found in money markets, which offer stablecoin loans. This market has a genuine use. Numerous individuals desire to borrow fiat currency for consumption purposes, using their held cryptocurrencies as collateral. If there is a saver on one side seeking some yield on their stablecoins and a borrower on the other who is willing to pay for this service, it can result in an attractive return. However, don't expect 20% per annum. even previous superstar investors and prominent investment banks failed to make wise choices in this area. They are now filing for bankruptcy. Another confusion surrounding income projects is that people know someone who invested in such a project, received interest returns, and is now seemingly generating passive income. While that's certainly beneficial, it doesn't guarantee the entire market won't crash just as you attempt to follow suit. The chart appears identical to the turkey's weight and happiness mentioned earlier. Initially, it seems pleasant but changes after reaching its peak. How to be cautious of theft and scams? Firstly, we store cryptocurrencies in our hardware wallet. No one else can monitor our portfolio. Our cryptocurrency keys are solely in our possession and secured within a hardware wallet. We do not have our cryptocurrencies on an exchange. The appropriate phrasing would be the exchange holds our cryptocurrencies. Bitcoin is a technology that prioritizes self-sovereignty over one's assets. By relinquishing sovereignty, we lose the primary advantage of using cryptocurrencies. Our bitcoins are either with us in a hardware wallet or we don't own them at all. Secondly, if an opportunity offers excessively high returns, it likely constitutes a scam. For example, a YouTube video featuring Elon Musk promising to send you 2 ETH if you transfer 1 ETH is fraudulent. If you come across something that seems too good to be true, don't think twice, just close the browser window or report the scam to the platform where you found it. Remember, there's no such thing as easy earnings without any risks. When dealing with your crypto assets, never give anyone your seed, the 12 or more English words that serve as a backup for your wallet. We should only write our seed in a hardware wallet and never share it with a third party. If you find yourself typing your seed on your computer, stop immediately, something is wrong. There's no situation where we need to type our seed using a keyboard or mouse on a computer. Be cautious of anyone asking for your seed, claiming it's needed for restore, upgrade, or verify purposes. They're likely trying to steal your crypto assets. Once we confirm, sign a transaction on our hardware wallet, it becomes irreversible. So, let's always double-check what we're doing. Finally, we should use our hardware wallet for everything, including storing NFTs with MetaMask. Firstly, most tokens can be held in a hardware wallet. Secondly, if we don't know exactly what we are doing and how it works, let's not do it. There is no shortcut from educating ourselves. Learn. Thirdly, beware of fraudulent sites. Check independently that you are on the right site. The address may look similar. Never go to crypto websites by Googling and clicking on the ads. Sadly, Google ad system often promotes scammers' websites. Fourthly, if someone emails you saying something needs to be done, it's probably a scam. In cryptocurrencies, we don't have to give anyone an email. So if someone writes it to us, it's either a marketing newsletter or an outright scam. If you're unsure, then never click on links in an email. For example, if an exchange writes to you, delete the email and log in to the exchange's website, which you know the address of. Lastly, if you have to send money somewhere to cover tax, processing costs, or something similar to get crypto you own, it's probably a scam. The exchange might take fees from the money that you've deposited with them. They never ask for more deposits in order to withdraw funds. Firstly, if someone urges you to act quickly, it's likely a scam. In the world of cryptocurrencies, things do move fast but not so rapidly that you can't pause or sleep on it. There is no, if you don't verify your account within 24 hours, you'll lose money. This is a well-known coercion tactic. If an offer is only available for 2 hours, be aware that the other party is pressuring you and may lead to poor decisions under duress. What can I do if I have been a victim of fraud? This is where unfortunate news begins. The downside of sovereignty is responsibility. Once you sign a cryptocurrency transaction and send it to the network, the cryptocurrencies are considered transferred. Although you might be legally correct, enforcing such laws can be extremely difficult. Even a court ruling holds little influence over a decentralized network. The network records transactions based on private key signatures and pays minimal attention to court decisions. In fact, it doesn't care at all. Therefore, seeking assistance from the police generally won't result in the recovery of lost funds. An exception might be if you can clearly identify the other party involved. If an exchange where your money was held gets hacked, contacting the police could potentially lead to some settlement using any remaining unstolen funds. For instance, consider the case of the MT Gox exchange, which was hacked in late February 2014. At the time of writing this, it's been 8 years since that incident, and those who had money on the exchange are yet to recover their funds, although a settlement process is in progress. This example highlights the challenges even with an efficient state, the MT Gox exchange operated from Japan. If you believe you've identified a counterparty because there's a company name on your contract, be aware that it's quite possible that the entire contract is fake or the company is owned by a nominee shareholder. In such cases, you may never discover the true beneficiaries of the company, leaving no one to sue. This issue was particularly prevalent with firms offering automatized trading by a robot. Those who desired to save time and avoid educating themselves about cryptocurrencies found out later that there was no robot involved. They had simply paid someone money, which they would never see. Again, to prevent such situations, do everything in your power not to fall into this trap. In most cases, these situations don't have a satisfactory resolution for you, and even those with possible payoffs are usually not worth it, in my opinion. Despite these challenges, I still think there are opportunities to get rich. What most people perceive as a huge success are mostly chimps rather than genius investors who have the edge. But I think even established projects have their best days ahead of them. I'm not saying Bitcoin will still do 1,000 times, although I wouldn't rule out that possibility either, but if I'm going to pick something that has potential, I'd rather invest in Bitcoin with a possible return of 3 times, but beware, even Bitcoin can crash, then gamble on one of the many projects that are likely to go quickly to zero in hopes of making 1,000 times. More importantly, however, it is important to realize something else. Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies are not about getting rich. Even most early Bitcoiners didn't keep all of their Bitcoins. We used them, gave them away, bought something with them, and when they doubled in value, many of us sold them. A lot of people were doing test transactions with 100 Bitcoins that had no value yet, but they don't have them anymore because they sometimes sold them for $800 when Bitcoin jumped from $2 to $8. Bitcoin is the foundation of a parallel financial system. It gives us sovereignty over our own money. It is a completely different paradigm in the financial world. It is a backup memory of the good deeds of society. It is money as it should be. I'm not saying don't invest in cryptocurrencies, but if you have a few $1,000 to make an initial investment, invest some of it in a hardware wallet, most of it in education, and very little of it in Bitcoin itself. Don't buy shitcoins you don't understand. And don't think you understand them unless you have invested months in understanding the field and went through several bear markets. If you're looking for an investment that involves signing a contract and sending money via wire transfer in hopes of appreciation, then you've misunderstood what cryptocurrencies are all about and are likely to be disappointed. However, if you learn how hard money works, understand the importance of honest money, recognize the issues with the fiat system, make cryptocurrency purchases without KYC directly into your own wallet, explore sending and other possibilities, and integrate volatile cryptocurrencies into your life, then you'll embark on a journey filled with adventure and remarkable experiences. Not all of these experiences will be positive, but they'll contribute to your growth through experience. If you simply hand over your money for someone else to manage your portfolio's growth, you'll have only one experience akin to being at the dinner table like a turkey.
Thank you for listening. I'm sorry for any possible quirks generated by the large language model or text-to-speech engine, but I think it is worth transferring these blocks into audio form for people who can't or don't have time to read, so I hope it was useful to you, and I would really appreciate if you used value for value podcasting apps to listen to this episode and stream me some sets or Boost. I read all the comments on the Boosts as well. So if you have any comment about this content, feel free to use Fountain.fm or any other app and boost this podcast. Thank you very much.